Doesn't get any better than that. These women standing up here that love the Lord and they're singing from their heart. I don't know anything better than that. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 42. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 42. You have before you the divine, inspired, living word, plenary, verbally inspired, living word of the living God. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Father, bless your word. Give this messenger unction to preach it. But Lord, say what you want to say, Father, to these folk in this house today. It'll never be the same again. We'll never have exactly the same people that we have now watching online and standing here. This is a one-time thing. And Father, we pray that you'd bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. What you read, of course, is from the scripture, Matthew chapter 27. This is the publican, hated and despised of the people, and most of the time rightly so, because they extorted from people more than the taxes, anything over what Caesar wanted. And if they could get it, they kept it and put it in their pocket. And a lot of things about politics haven't really changed much since then, have they? But in any event, Matthew chapter number 27 is talking about him while he's hanging on the cross. He's already crucified. He's nailed to a tree. And so now not only does he have to endure the physical suffering, the pain involved with it, the assault of the bulls of Bashan, which would be demonic forces and powers coming against him, but now he has to deal with the insults of the people as they cast them upon him. And that's bad enough, but now we have two thieves that are crucified with him. And these two thieves are hanging on a tree, and they look over at him probably, and they with contempt, and they scream out of their own anguish and pain and sorrow. And of course, going down to the end of their lives, you can see that it's a wasted life, and now they're dying the death of a criminal, and it's a horrible thing. There's nothing good about any of it. When you look at it, there's nothing here to inspire anyone. All you see is death and suffering, sorrow and dying. And there's plenty of that around. Fact of the matter is, essentially, that's the message of the world. Get what you can, live today, live it with gusto, for tomorrow you die. And so that essentially is all they have to offer you. I've got something better. A whole lot better. But we have one here, the Bible says, that they cast in his teeth. Now, of course, that's a figurative expression, and it has to do simply with the fact that to his face they spoke these things, and not behind his back, and they wanted to hurt him. They wanted to humiliate him even further. They wanted to drive him on further down. So it wasn't enough for him to be hanging on a cross. He had to endure all of this from humanity. When I look at this, I begin to say to myself, you know, there must be something that we have yet to learn about God. For he sent his only begotten Son into this world, knowing when he made the man that the day would come when he would die for that man. And he would die such a horrid, ignoble death as one cursed hanging on a tree. My, my, my. We don't know the depths of that yet. The day will come when we meet with him, begin to really understand the great sacrifice that was given. But here we have a thief, and I want to call your attention to this. For in the book of Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 42, this same thief is recorded saying this. Remember now, he had cast in his teeth. He had mocked him to his face. He no doubt had probably cast every curse that he could think of. He looked at him and with contempt. But something changed. Something changed inside the soul of this man while he was hanging upon that tree. Nobody was preaching to him. You can be sure of that. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the Jews standing around were cursing and everything they could possibly say. So there's no message of salvation here. This is not a revival meeting, and this is, you know, this is not a prayer meeting in that sense. And so what happened to this man? What's going on with him? Well, the same thing that goes on with him goes on with all of us, because we're all going to come down to that time, in that hour, when we look off into eternity. And I want you to think about it for a moment now. Don't try to figure eternity. You can't. Human mind cannot. I can't do it. I've tried time and again, and it blows me away. And I've had illustrations giving of a bird carrying one grain of sand, you know, from one side of the country to the other in time it takes. You know, that's all fine, but folks, that's nothing. Eternity is everlasting and everlasting and eternal and eternal. And the consequences of the choices that you make are eternal. You need to keep that in mind. Eternal consequences. Decisions made in a temporal life, in the few fleeting years that we're on this planet, these decisions and choices that we make have eternal consequences. And that's something to think about. And maybe this thief thought about that. And maybe this thief thought within himself, you know, what am I screaming about? I'm getting what I deserve. I mean, I've lived a wasted, useless life. And who am I to blame for where I am? I mean, after all, what good's it going to do? Here I am. I'm dying. And so he looks at that man in the middle. And here's what he says to him. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I just cursed you. I just mocked you, spit in your face, made fun of you. But now I'm not that same man anymore, Lord. Something's happened inside my soul. Something's tearing me down. Something's showing me what I'm really made out of. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, God, remember me. That's short prayer. It's not a theological prayer. It's nothing about justification by faith. There's nothing about water baptism. There's nothing about election. There's nothing about all these things that preachers get up and scream and yell at you all about as it relates to sinners, as if to say that God has this path laid out before you. And if you don't walk this path as they lay it before you, you can never get to God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. All he had to do was say, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. A simple prayer. And why? Because he's the friend of sinners. There's something simple about the approach to God. You've got tracts that say the simplicity of salvation, and it is. God did not write the Bible to trick you. He didn't write the Word of God to confuse you. He didn't write Scripture to, you know, to put you off in some ethereal, no man's land where you can't find your way out. The Bible is written that you might know God. These things are written that you might believe. And believing have everlasting life. And so what did he say? He said, remember me. I preached on that thief a few weeks back. Yeah, I just can't get him off my mind. Lord, he said, look at this. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And so what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? Was say, you hurt my feelings. You said all these things about me. Why are you calling on me now? I mean, you've turned against me out here. What's this? You want me to help you now? You see, he's above that. Did you get that? He's above that. He's above his feelings. He's above religion. He's above all of it. He's above every bit of it. And one day, as we walk our walk with God, and as we try to draw nigh to God, begin to mature in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the day will come, thank God, when it comes, that you find out that you start getting above a lot of things. That you just don't let some stuff bug you like it used to. Eat at your conscience. You know, carry a chip on your shoulder. You're mad at this crowd or mad at that crowd or this or that or this or that. He's above it. And you know what he said to him? Look at this. Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's all he said. Remember me. Remember me. He didn't get into a long litany of all the sins he'd committed. Fact is, I don't find anywhere in the Bible where we have that. All he said was, remember me. So what do you mean by that, preacher? He said, I am what I am. I mean, here I am. I can't remember all the stuff I've ever done, all the sins I've committed. Who can? You can't. There's nobody can. If you think that getting right with God is to confess every sin you've ever committed, let's just park here for a while and we'll cook a few meals and we still won't make it, because you can't remember all of them. So what is it? It's not what you've done. Your relationship with God is not built upon what you've done. Let's get out of religion. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with what you've done. It has everything to do with who you are. That's why he said, I came to call sinners to repentance and not the righteous. You see, my friend, you sin because you're a sinner. That's right. You fornicate because you're a fornicator. You stagger around drunk because you're a drunkard. You lie because you're a liar. Lying doesn't make you a liar. It is the nature of us. All sin is connected. Some has far, far, far more reaching consequences than others. But they're still spiritual things. And they're all connected. Let's put it this way. They're all interconnected. It's like a grid work. When you commit one, that can open the door to another one. And the other one that it opens the door to could be far worse than the one you just committed. That's right. And so what did he say? He said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. No, I don't want justice. Lord, remember me. He didn't have time to do anything. Nobody could drag him off the cross and baptize him. Nobody could say anything over him. They couldn't confirm him. All that was left was a simple thing. And folks, let me tell you something about the Bible. I've been reading this book for quite a while. He will always, God Almighty will always put something in the Bible to mess up your theology. Some of you are so tied to your denomination. If I say the least thing that doesn't agree with your declaration of faith and your catechism, oh! I mean, you get all upset. It's not about your catechism, folks. Every catechism, and I got a library full of them, systematic theology. How many's ever heard that terminology? Systematic theology. That's catechisms. You have yours, he has his, he has his, he has his. But every last one of them were made by men. Now, I'm not saying they're bad men. I mean, they're good men. Many of them, they love the Lord. No question about that. But the point is this. My approach to God is not based upon what some man wrote. My approach to God is based entirely upon the Almighty himself, who he is and his character. I like this. Lord, remember me. Oh, how many times have you been in a place where you just absolutely didn't know what to say, but Lord, remember me. You ever been there? You ever been there? Yesterday, and I like to say these things because I want you to know, I'm not up here for drama. I'm up here, and this is not something I read from a book. This is my life. I didn't want to preach today. A preacher lives in a pressure cooker and a fishbowl. Yesterday, it was the pressure cooker. Some days, it's the fishbowl. All hell was breaking loose on me. And I mean, I've been at this a long time, and I know when it's coming. And it was. I didn't want to preach. I looked at her, and she said, well, let's get somebody. I said, I can't do them like that, but I can't preach like this either. Something's got to give. Something has got to give. I'd prayed long and hard about the choices that I have to make and decisions that are facing me. Things that matter to me is I'm the pastor of this church, and I love this church, and this church comes first. Because it's my ministry. It's my life. And as long as God has me here, I will put nothing before what God has called me to do. But I'm in a twixt and a pressure cooker. Man, I've got a temper. You may be a real passive type person. I'm not. Boy, I'm just like Peter. I get stirred up. I'm stirred up. And man, my temper was rising. My blood pressure was going up. And I said, Lord, I can't handle this. I've got to have some peace. I need an answer. Show me the way. And praise be unto God. It just lifted. That's why I'm here. Just lifted. I mean lifted off my soul. If you've never had that happen, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about starting to feel better. I'm not talking about going somewhere and doing something, reading something, watching something, and gradually you get better. No. You just lifted. One minute I'm so mad that I could chew nails. The next minute I'm praising God. And it's been gone ever since then. And he answered my prayer. So thank you for praying for me. God has answered prayer. That's why I'm here this morning. Amen. Keep praying for me. He's answered prayer. It's a whole lot easier to jerk a motor out of a car and rebuild it than to get up here in this pulpit and open up the Bible and preach it. I know what I'm talking about. I built a few motors. And there's a vast difference. That's not to put down a mechanic's job. I love my work as a mechanic. Never got tired of it. Never was bored with it. But this is preaching the word of God. What a thing. Look what it says over here in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse number 13. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I just read the testimony. I hadn't planned to do this, of a very well-known evangelist back in the 70s and the 80s. He fell from his position. He got messing around, got off into things. But here's his testimony. And this is important for you to hear this. He said, and God used him. When he started in his ministry, God used him. I mean, this man, he was on fire for God and God used him. He said, but money started coming in. And he said, people started carrying my luggage for me, opening doors for me. They started telling me how wonderful I was and how great God was using me in the ministry and how he had opened so many doors for me. And he said, here was my problem. He said, all of this came to me much faster than I was able to handle it because I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't mature. That's a good testimony. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, you fall into condemnation of the devil. That's what happened to him. He said, it came too fast. He said, I was not ready spiritually for all of this that had happened to me. And he said, instead of keeping my eyes upon the Lord, he said, I started looking at the money. I started looking at the people. I started listening to the praise. And it built my ego. I was growing me. It was all about me and what I had accomplished, who I was, how great I was. He started believing all that garbage. And you know what it did? That didn't destroy him. What destroyed him was when he opened up his heart and accepted it and allowed the rest to come in with it. It's what it brings into your life. You see it take your guard down. You're no longer seeking the face of the Lord. You know, humility left in it. Man, that's a rare commodity today. Humility. Oh, boy. And what happened to him? He fell. He wound up divorcing his wife, wound up in all kinds of problems, left the ministry, been out of the ministry for years. But God sent some old saints. He sent some old mature saints to him. Praise God. He sent the right people at the right time, and they brought him back. Amen. And one of the reasons they brought him back, thanks be unto God, is because then he could begin to tell people what had happened to him. And that's what I'm telling you about this morning. This is why I'm saying this to you. A lot of young preachers fall prey to that. Young ministries here and there. You got to be awful careful that you don't let religious success come in here in the head instead of the heart and begin to harden you to the work of God. You can't do anything without the Lord. And as a pastor, I want to tell you something, folks. Next August will be 50 years in this church. 50, half a century. 50 years. 50 years here at Temple Baptist Church. Number one, God's been good to me. Oh, boy.
I mean, here I am, 50 years later almost. He's been good to me. There's an awful lot out there that nowhere near my age. They've come and they've gone. So there must be a reason he's leaving me here. Because I tell him every day, Lord, I'm ready whenever you decide to come and get me. Would you give me just enough time to go in there and peck her on the side of the and say, I'll see you, baby. I'll meet you by the river and leave out of here. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Now, you guys know what I'm talking about today? How many of you all know the difference between a man and a woman? Raise your hand. All right, good. We got a good crowd. I've never, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Pregnant, what do they call these men? They have birthing people. Yeah. Oh, man. Birthing people. How many of you have finally figured it out? You can't talk to an absolute idiot. That is an idiot. Birthing people. You're talking about a woman? No, you're talking about a man trying to have a baby. Man, we're in trouble. Boy. But he would not so much as lift his eyes toward heaven. And he said, God, be merciful, for I have sinned. Not what he said, did he? You say, well, that's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. No. No, 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 no. Well, why not? Because he's not so interested in what you've done. He's interested in you understanding who you are, what you are. Because if you are left to your own devices, well, I'll quit this. I'll quit that. I'll start running with another crowd. My goodness gracious, this is not going to glorify God. I'll get away from this bunch. I'll start living like this. Yeah, you will. It's in your hands. And what you're going to do is produce your own righteousness. And you're going to deny the righteousness of Christ. Let him acknowledge I'm a sinner. Amen. And I'm preaching to sinners this morning. And the publican said, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you've read the scripture, how many of you know that right before this, the Pharisee said, I thank thee, Lord, I'm not as other men. He had a very flowery and wonderful religious prayer. Thank you, Lord, I do this, I'm not as other men. I tithe, I do all this. Oh, that sounded so great. But he went down to his house condemned. And the sinner, God be merciful, wouldn't even lift his head. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you ever done that? Have you ever really, 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 really taken account and said, you know what? I could have been better to my wife. I could have been better to that person. I could have been kinder and gentler with this one over here. I could have read the Bible and let God speak to me instead of me trying to find something in Scripture to support my position. In other words, begin to search out spiritual things, things that really matter. Lord, I'm opening your Bible. I'm praying that I want to walk with you. I want fellowship with you. I'm talking to you. Would you talk to me? And if there's something in my heart that keeps you from being able to communicate with me, show me what it is. Search me. Try me. And you know what? He will. You'll pray a prayer to God and he'll open up your heart. He'll start talking to you. That's why prayer's boring for a lot of people. He doesn't talk to you. I'm ready for the funny farm. They're going to lock me up because he's talking to me. The people today, they say, you mean God talks to you? How many's ever heard them put it like, how many's ever been in a church around a bunch of religious people, and when you say that God talks to you, they look at you out of the corner of their eye? It's everywhere. They think you're crazy. You know why? He never talks to them. Obviously. But he'll talk to you. And that's good enough for me. Really, when this lifted, he was not only lifting the spirit off of me, he was showing me his power, but he was giving me the answer to my prayer. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. When he'd sent the multitudes away, he went into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." They cried out for fear. Straightway, in other words, immediately, when you see the word straightway, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." So I don't know how long, I don't know what period of time transpired between that statement, that last word, afraid. I don't know how long it took them to calm down. They were scared to death. They're out in the water, and they see this being walking on the water. You don't see that every day. It scared them to death. And now here's Peter. Man, Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." All right. Peter said, "Okay, you told us it's you. Let me come out there." And here's what, now look at this. And he said, "Come." That's all he said. Come. One word. Come. Now, when he said that to Peter, did he take into consideration Christ? Did he take into consideration that Peter was going to be walking in a treacherous place? Yes. Did he take into consideration the fact that Peter was walking in a place he had no control over? Yes. Did he take into the fact that Peter was walking somewhere where the only place he could go to was Christ himself? There was nowhere else to go out there. He wouldn't just get out there and walk around, see what it looked like. He was headed for Christ, right? Come. So he will put you in a place, if you'll let him, where you probably never choose it on your own. Natural wisdom, intellect, you know, natural fears. I've been in a lot of boats, and I've never decided to just step out in the water because I know where I'm headed. Be down there with a crappie. I spent 6 months on a troop carrier in the military. I was in the Atlantic Ocean, right smack in the middle of it. You look out there, and here's all this water. I never one time had any desire to jump off of that ship and go out there in that water. Not one time. Never. Not one time. Not one time. So what happens? He'll call you to a place you wouldn't choose on your own. He'll put you somewhere that sometimes doesn't make sense. What sense does this make? Whoever did this, there's only two people that have walked on water. Only two. Only two. And yet, come. 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 Maybe God's moved on your soul to start some kind of a ministry, and you just feel like, "Well, I can't do it." Well, you can. I'll tell you right now. You're a failure. You can't do it. But he can. He can. He can. He can do it. Above and beyond all that you could ever ask or think. He's moved on your heart, young man. He's moving in your soul. Something is jumping up and down inside you. I don't say too much. I'm an old preacher. But the word of God is beginning to move in you. See, I mean, it's moving in you. Something, you want to say something. It's starting to take hold of you. And you're beginning to think to yourself, "Has God called me to preach?" Oh, you can't preach. I can tell you that right now. You're wasting your time. You can't preach. Well, you're trying to just put me to, no. I'm trying to tell you how it works. If that's in there and that's moving in your soul, and there's a desire to get up and speak that word publicly, that's the move of the Holy Ghost, the call of God on your life. And if he calls you, he'll prepare you. And he'll make you what he wants you to be. If that's the call of God on your life. May not be. You may just be emotional. You may just get excited about something. It may just be a good service. You know, and all of a sudden, in a little while, you're not bothered with it anymore. That's fine. You go a month or two down the road, a year or two later, never did bother me again, preacher. Fine. That's fine. I'm talking to you that can't leave. I'm talking to you that it won't leave. I'm talking to you that wrestle with it night after night. I'm talking to you that are trying to serve God, saying, "Oh, Lord, I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. I'll do this. I'll do that. Just tell me whatever you want, but to preach the word of God, ain't no way. scared to death. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What's that mean? That means that if he's called you, he's called you. He's called you. I'll tell you the truth, man. It's quiet in here. That's okay. I'm not going to call you, and I don't want the responsibility for it. No, sir, I'm not the one that's going to put you into the preaching and the ministry. Let the Holy Ghost do that. But if he did call you, you'll go, or you won't be able to make it. Peter answered and said, Lord, bid me come to thee. He said, come. Now, this is the part of it that I want you to get this morning. These are three simple prayers in the Bible. Simple prayer number one, remember me. Simple prayer number two, God be merciful to me. And simple prayer number three, Lord, save me. These are simple prayers. They're simple as they can be. Two, three-letter words. All right. Lord, save me. You may not know a thing about the Bible. You may not know how many books are in the Bible. You may not know anything about Old Testament, New Testament, dispensational theology, any of this. You may not know anything. That's fine. But you know you need help. You know that. And you know that you've turned everywhere in the world except really to God. If you'll come to him and really mean it and say, Lord, save me. The salvation may not come as salvation of your soul. That may not be what you need. Salvation is in many, many, many different ways. We all need to be born again. We all need to be saved. But some of you may have been saved some time ago and you're not living for God. And you got a lot of stuff coming against you now. All kinds of things that are tearing you down and destroying you. Come back to him and say, Lord, save me. You may not know the, don't try to figure out the answer. Listen. It didn't take me too long to figure out. God doesn't need me to tell him how to do it. I don't need to explain to God what needs to be done to fix my problems. All I have to do is say, Lord, help me. Save me. Remember me. He'll take care of the fixing part. He knows exactly what needs to be done, when it needs to be done. A simple prayer. Lord, save me. You know what he did for Peter? He put that hand down there. He could have said, rise up, Peter, just like it. You know, Lazarus, come out of the tomb, dead man. No. He reached down there and let Peter take hold of his hand. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That makes it personal. That makes it very personal. That's what I'm trying to say with that. Very, very. He's interested in your life. Your life. Well, preacher, I'm not a Christian celebrity. That's good. For the most part, that's a big problem with most people. He's interested in your life. You came in this house this morning, no idea that God would speak to you the way he's speaking to you right now. And he's speaking to you in a way you've never heard him speak before. Don't walk out of the house. Don't walk away from that opportunity he's giving you. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. He's extended his hand, and all he's asking you to do now is take it, and he'll save you from whatever your problems are. If you're lost, he'll save your soul. If your life's in a mess, he'll save your life. He'll save you from your circumstance. He'll save you. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. Would you do it? Some of you know what I'm talking about. That's why I'm saying this. He's speaking to you in a way you've never had him speak before. Would you bow your head? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for what you gave me to say. I wanted to minister to people this morning, and you first ministered to me, and you started it yesterday, and I thank you for it. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for lifting that spirit off of my soul. Now, Father, the people in this house this morning, they know you've spoken to them and they need to come now. This is the time now. Answer that call on your life. He's calling you. He's speaking to you. Come to him. You never had a greater friend than the Lord Jesus. And you come down here in this altar. I'm going to pray with all of you. I can't pray everyone specifically, but I want to pray with you. We're going to have us a prayer now. Yes, sir. We're going to have us a prayer. And if you want to come down here with us now and pray, let's pray. Let's come on down here and talk to the Lord. Let's talk to him. We can't talk to him too much, folks. You cannot pray too much. If you want to come down here with us, let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to him. Has he spoken to you? He's moving your heart. I know he has. I can see it. It's in my soul. I sense it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. God bless you. Come on down. You're in the midst of friends. We love you. And we want to go here. We want to come in down here. We want to talk to God. Let's talk to him. Yes, amen. What a great privilege we're going to have here in a minute. I want to talk to him. Oh, yeah. Let's talk to him. Come on down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. 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 Yes, let's talk to him now. Just find you a place anywhere. We talk to God. We talk to him. All right, my Father. Lord, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you again now. I don't know how many times I've told you, but I thank you for lifting that spirit off my soul. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, I couldn't have been here. I couldn't even come in here and preach if you hadn't done that. My Father, you're no respecter of person. As you came to me and as you lifted that off of me, you'll do it for anybody in this house this morning. I don't know what their problems are. I don't need to. I don't need to. I'm not between them and you. I'm simply here as an intercessor, praying on behalf of these people. But my Father, let thy sweet Holy Spirit touch every heart in this house. Speak to them in such a way, Lord, that they make it personal. Your hand, just like you reached down there and Peter took hold of your hand. Amen to God. And that hand lifted him up. Oh God, let the sweet Holy Ghost make your hand real now to the people. Make it so real to them that they can sense it right before their eyes. In their spirit, that they'll reach right now and take hold of that hand and let you pull them up out of this mess, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Don't need to know. You're the Savior. You're the Savior in every sense, every way that we could possibly be saved. Hallelujah to God. You're the Savior. That's what Gabriel said, Mary, to you born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Yes, he's a Savior. He's the Savior. Oh, let us get our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ now. Take hold of that hand. And Lord, that hand now has nail holes in it. That hand has nail prints in it. Oh, blessed, blessed, blessed Lamb of God. Take hold of them. And then when you lift them up, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that the sweet Holy Spirit may move about here, may move about in their lives, may touch every soul in this house. And these folk down in the altar, move in their heart. Let them see a difference now when they go home, when they go to work, when they go about their lives. Let them see a difference now, knowing that you have done something for them and that you've put them on the right track. You've lifted burdens. You've saved out of circumstances, from circumstances, every way that you possibly can save. You've done it. And we'll bless you, we'll praise you, we'll exalt you, we'll glorify you. I love you. I lift up your holy, righteous name. There's none beside you. You're my Lord Jesus Christ, in whom I live and move and have my being. You're my Savior, Lord. You've saved me in so many ways, and so many times. I can't number them. In thy sweet name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.